everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 255. Yes, 255th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. This is called the Knocks and Nonsense edition, basically because it's all about hard knocks and general nonsense. It's kind of a strange little split that I found with the stuff that's up online recently, so hopefully you're going to enjoy everything that we got coming at you today. It's kind of an interesting edition here because I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't want to jinx anything, but it's been going pretty good in work. I feel like an immeasurable amount better than I did when I was recording the last podcast. And thank you so much to everybody out there who sent your well wishes and kind words in, hoping I end up feeling better. I got to tell you, it was a pretty rough road, but sunburns finally eased out. Everything's easing into the work week. We are halfway through here. This, of course, being July 30th, 2008. We're recording live to Hard Drive. This is the Wednesday night edition of the Caffeination Podcast. This edition and all the other editions of the Caffeination Podcast, every other little episodic piece of joy is lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com, coincidentally enough. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You'll find all the other member shows over at techpodcasts.com, where everyone, I mean everyone, has agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So you can peruse over there if you have kids in the car. Fear not. Everybody has nice, fun stuff up there, all clean living, if you know what I mean. And the Caffeination is also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network. It's kind of like MySpace for podcasts or Facebook for podcasts, since Facebook appears to be the new MySpace and all that other happy stuff out there. But it's an interesting little place. You can head on over there. I have listed most of the podcasts that are on the network that I'm currently listening to, and I have to go over there and make sure all the tiny little pieces of joy that I myself of currently listening to or listed up over there. So it's a real kind of fun way to surf around and find new and interesting shows. Not saying that I don't want you around here listening to this fine podcast, but if you happen to find another show, cannibalization is always certainly welcome at a network such as that. You know, the way I look at it, it's kind of like whatever listener that I lose to another better show for what they're looking for, hopefully I'll gain back in the long run from a different show where they find my show a little bit more interesting. On today's show, you're going to hear about any and all the following topics. You're going to hear about whales, the NFL, Olympics, jetpacks, TIE fighters, Comcast, running, pizza, coffee, and Dunkin' Donuts. All on the same show. It's going to be a kind of a real fun fast and loose episode here at the Caffeination Podcast. Any and all comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, please feel free to email me directly over at caffeination@gmail.com, and I will respond hopefully within a day. I've been trying to kind of reduce the time between sends and receives because I had previously had some issues with that. However, next week I will be on vacation, so I'm not entirely sure how the episodic joy is going to go. I don't know if email newsletters are going to be sent out. I need to record two episodes before I leave, so hopefully that'll get done. If it doesn't, I'll just post a little note up there saying what happened, and we'll hopefully be able to pick up on the back end. So hopefully you're going to enjoy what we got coming up for you here. We have a decent amount of tech cruft and a good amount of caffeine and food to kind of send you along your way. It's kind of an interesting little mix of topics like I talked about, but before we get on into that, just wanted to mention, if you'd like to find out more of the stuff that I do, you can look me up on Friend Feed. My name is Caffeination, CaffeinationIon, coincidentally enough. You know, it seems to be the name on almost everything I do. Twitter, Tumblr, everything else like that. And Tumblr is also the place you can find all the stuff that may or may not end up making it onto the actual Caffeination Podcast. That's caffeination.tumblr.com. So it's kind of an interesting, fun little random bits of happenstance as I travel around the internet, so you can enjoy that if you so choose. Alright, moving right along to TechCruft. We have a little bit of nonsense right up front. Gotta love starting that way. Christopher Penn from over at ChristopherSPenn.com, a fantastic gentleman, if I do say so myself, has decided to have just a little bit of fun at Twitter in the fail whale's expense, and he did it using probably one of the most iconic songs from Disney's early period, or I'd say it's like the last the back end of Disney's really, really prolific movie going, or movie creating rather, period. It's from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, originally sung by Kirk Douglas as Ned Land, the harpooner on one of the ships that gets sunk by the Nautilus. I love the song. That song, I don't know how long ago I originally saw the movie, but the song A Whale of a Tale is one of the ones that it just sticks with me, and I have no clue why. The chorus goes something a little like this. Oh, I've a whale of a tale to tell you, friends, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've kissed on the nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale to tell you, friends, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. So it's that kind of thing. Hopefully I'm not going to sing too much more, but Chris kind of flipped it around a little bit, and while some of the other passages might needle just a little tweaking in my personal opinion, I personally think that he has the chorus absolutely down pat. The problem with trying to sing one of the offshoots of somebody else's words is that you yourself may not actually be down pat on everything that it's supposed to be, and it's an incredibly nerdy rhyme, so I'm going to give it a shot right here. It goes a little something like this. Again, I apologize if my singing voice causes ears to bleed or anything else like that, but I've got a way whale of a fail to tell you, lads, a whale of a fail or two, by the flying birds and the tweeting herds of the days and the nights with the endless nerds. A whale of a fail, and it's all true, I swear at friend feed too. So it's kind of an interesting little play on words, and he throws a lot of geek and nerdy references on the rest of the thing done up there. So it was really, really well played. So I gotta hand it to Chris there. It's a great, great little piece that he wrote. I've myself have tried my hand at manipulating songs from popular culture, never to such a deft precision as he has done. So I just wanted to pass it along, and I'm going to have to edit this episode heavily to actually get the correct singing of that down, because it's a little bit of a tongue twister, especially if you're like myself and you've been singing the other one. It's one of those songs which will randomly kind of just pop into my head. So the original Whale of a Tale is now going to unfortunately go over to the Whale of a Fail in my head for some reason. So I just wanted to pass that along because I thought it was incredibly good, and you should head on over there. Chris always has some interesting stuff. Now, the NFL is not joking around at all. Like that segue there? Just kind of not joking around at all. What they're doing is they're really upping the ante on live streamed games. This is something that I've been yearning for ever since I originally saw it done at the NHL level. But the problem with the NHL level is that, you know, you can watch hockey games. They just can't be in your market, which irritated me to no end, because what happens if I'm at a computer but I don't have access to a TV, and I'd still like to watch my Philadelphia Flyers thump up on whoever they happen to be playing? Well, sorry, the NHL just doesn't allow it. What the NFL is planning to do this upcoming season is 17 games are going to be streamed live by NBC Sports and NFL.com. That is every Sunday night game. Sunday night football will go on. Well, of course, Sunday night football is actually going to kick off on Thursday because this is the NFL, and they couldn't be happy with just one day. So they're going to kick it off on Thursday, September 4th, and you are going to be able to watch online. And you're not just going to be able to watch online, which is cool enough as it is. You're also going to be able to play a little bit of director. You're going to have alternative camera angles. You're going to be able to, you know, go to the star cam, actually have cameras focusing on, like, for me, it would be the Philadelphia Eagles with Donovan McNabb or Brian Westbrook or whoever happened to be on the field at that point in time. You can do picture-in-picture technology, so you can have one big thing with the entire field, one tiny little camera with the star cam, and it just looks like it's a really, really cool idea, and I can't wait for September 28th, which is Philadelphia at Chicago, 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I will be glued to my computer while I'm watching it on the TV, just because, you know, I'm hoping to have a camera which is either overhead or far enough away where you can see most of the field and actually see the formations kind of take shape from a little bit further out. I just think this is going to be really cool. You're going to get to see all kinds of awesome stuff, like live stats, live interactivity, and hopefully they can kind of plug this into a fantasy football thing where you can actually click on the players that you may or may not own and track them. I think that would be awesome. not because I'm a really heavy fantasy football guy, but I do know that when the people that I know who follow fantasy football are so insane about it that they actually have, like, you know, log sheets of who they have that is playing in any given game that they may or may not be watching. So it would kind of be cool for that level of interactivity to hopefully reach in. But still, you know, the end all and be all, the games, sports league that I cannot wait for it to be a free online stream is baseball. Baseball lends itself so well to being streamed online. And there's some services that you can kind of go around. I think and the MLB actually has a pay service. But I mean, that's not the way that this should go. This should go ad-supported, just like TV. It's an alternative revenue stream for you. You can actually have specific ads for the people online. Because, I mean, hey, if somebody's watching online and they happen to want to buy a jersey of their favorite player, hey, they're right there. They can do it. Click, 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 and they're done. Why not have the ads that kind of speak to that type of experience? But then again, you know, it's just one of those things where you're looking at it and going, I don't feel like paying for it because I can watch it on TV, but Major League Baseball is one of those areas where they just don't seem to get technology. They were suing Slingbox, for allowing people to watch out-of-market games. I mean, God forbid you happen to live in San Diego and follow the Philadelphia Phillies. I mean, God forbid you could actually watch the Phillies games because, you know, that just happened to be the team that you grew up with, like one of my friends is currently trying to do. So, I mean, people really need to start getting into what's happening here, and I gotta hand it to the NFL. While they're only starting small, they're starting the right way. Everything, it's a pretty much tried and true start time, except for the first game, which is on September 4th, which is a Thursday at 7 p.m. Every other single game is a nighttime game on a Sunday, and it is 8:15 p.m. Gotta love it. I mean, it is just plain and simple. You're going to be able to follow it. They have added bonus features along with all the other stuff. So it's a little bit of sports nerd thrown in there. You're going to be able to find all kinds of crazy cool stuff in there. All right. Next up is another kind of hard-hitting issue, just a little bit like the NFLC. Another segue right there. But not exactly a great thing. I got to tell you, as a internet connoisseur, I guess you could say, as a technologist, one of the things that irritates me the most is when politicians and other people, now I usually don't get into politics, and I'm not going to get into politics here. This is kind of just an aside of politics that we're going to talk about, and I'll explain why a little in another episode, probably, why I don't talk about politics. But the long and the short of it is, what I believe may not be what you believe, and I understand that. This is a tech show, so we're only going to cover tech topics. I hope that you respect that, and I know that I'm pretty sure that if I was listening to a tech show, that's what I would want to hear. I don't want to hear somebody spouting off about what he believes about the current state of, you know, who should be elected or whatever. That's just not what I'm about. That's not what the show's about. And I know we have people who come from all kinds of different areas of the spectrum who listen to the show. So why irritate one side because they may or may not believe what I do? What this is this is about the phrase for the children or to protect the children. It is one of the biggest loads of horse expletive on the planet. It's because people use this common denominator to justify absolutely everything they want to do. There's a gentleman by the name of Cuomo, a current senator by the name of Cuomo, who's trying to block child porn, which at the very basic level is a very good idea because, hey, that's a bad thing. Child porn's a bad thing. It's one of those things where you can put it out there and say, everybody agrees that this is bad. So what I'm going to try and do is have internet service providers block access to it. That is bad. Not his kind of bad, the real kind of bad. Why? Because the network services are the ISPs are in no way responsible for the traffic that is covered over their network. But through the club of For the Children, this guy is going to bash whatever media company in general dares to stand up to him and say, no, we're not going to block any sites. We are not in the business of blocking any sites or services. We are merely a pathway through which other objects travel. What they should be doing is helping people to ferret out what may or may not be illegal content. That is fine in my eyes. Like if somebody says, hey, this is an example of a child pornography site, this should be taken down. This should not go to the ISP. This should go to the hosting company. This should go to the people who actually run and own the files. This should go, if it's in the case of child porn and it's an illegal act, why make it harder to find the people. So what you're going to do is, instead of having the standard network schema in place, you're going to go to people who try and go through like a different routes and anonymizers and other stuff like that. You're going to make law enforcement's job actually harder to try and catch these people. And it's one of those things where you look at it and go, I understand what you're trying to do, and you're just, it's one of those things where you're going to throw it out there and you're going to hope it sticks, because God forbid anybody ever does anything to endanger children, because that's all the press is going to heap up on. So now Comcast and NetZero, the last two people to actually sign on to agree to block this. The only problem is, it's not child porn that he wants to block. He wants to block objectionable content. See, that's where this whole thing switches in, because the article that I originally have listed up is Reuters. Reuters says child porn, right down the side. The other problem is, when you actually look at what he said, he wants to block objectionable content. No word anywhere in his documentation does it actually say what is objectionable. There's no guidelines for what is deemed to be objectionable. There's no metric, there's no rubric to measure anything against. So it's whatever he deems to be objectionable. I gotta tell you, what he deems to be objectionable might be funny to me. I'm not saying illegal. I'm not saying anything that, oh my God, you know, that's horribly wrong. But I'm saying it's a completely subjective term, and it should not be put in this area. So that's all I really have to say about that. I mean, I don't want to go on and on and on, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to look at the discussion on the other areas that's around this. I linked to the original article because it kind of glosses over a lot of the other different things. And then I linked to TechDirt, where you have people in the comments who are actually bringing up valid points. And I highly suggest you head on over there and read both. Now, the next little piece of fantastical news coming out is that China is hosting the Olympics. If you've been watching NBC at any point in time over the past month, your commercial breaks have gone something like this. Hey, we have some cool news going on later on tonight. You're all going to die, by the way. We have Olympics coverage. Then we have an Olympic star shilling for Taco Bell. We have an Olympic star shilling for another company. By the way, have you tried La Vitra? Did you know the Olympics were coming up? And guess what's on news at 11? You're still going to die. That's been the commercial breaks as they follow through pretty much any time you happen across an NBC program. None of the other networks are allowed to actually jump in on the coverage because, you know, why would we really want any other networks to be able to do it? It's an NBC exclusive, NBC 10 in my area, but whatever number they've associated themselves with in yours. And that's only if you're in the United States. I've heard the BBC has a completely different way that they're handling it, and hopefully they're not bombarding you with Olympic questions or with Olympic coverage. I understand the Olympics are coming, and guess what? You know what? I'll probably be home by the time they start, and I don't need to see all this other stuff. Now, here's the big thing. The Olympics, not the Olympics, but China is very well known across the world with their different, what we would perceive to be human rights violations. And the only reason I phrase it as that is because of my anthropology background. And it's the fact that I cannot bring myself to condemn somebody from another cultural background for what they think they are doing correctly. And it's, I can't step over that boundary. I can't say, you know what, you are wrong in what you are doing, because the people in China come from a completely different set of cultures. I mean, I'm not saying that what they're doing is right, but I cannot condemn it. That's the problem. What I can condemn is the fact that they agreed, when they originally were awarded the ability to host the Olympics this year, they agreed to have open internet access for the press. Now they are currently subjecting the press to all of the same internet blocks and all of the same propaganda-laced issues that all of the China citizens. Whether or not you agree what happens to China citizens, you have to understand that they are their own sovereign body. So this podcast and no other podcast or news media really should come out and say yes or no against it. That's just how I believe. But what they should be held accountable for is anything that they agreed to do in the hosting variety, you know, since they were allowed to host the Olympics, they should not be blocking internet traffic for the press. They're already making it hard for the press to pretty much do anything, and this is all the stuff that everybody knew was going to happen when you go into China. It is such a state-run military government. It's a communist government, but I mean, that's kind of a word that's thrown around when people want to make things seem bad, but it is a communist government, so it is pretty much, you know, straight up and down. It's one way, and that's it. If you don't agree with it, then it's tough. You have to. But it's the way that it should be run with the Olympics is should be a little bit freer for the people who are coming in to handle it. All anybody has seen, all the advertisers have seen, all of the companies that are currently going in there as, you know, as sponsors, and all the other people that are going in there, and even the IOC, the International Olympics Commission, have seen is the dollar signs because of the burgeoning economy in China. That is all they've seen. They've been blinded to absolutely everything else, and it's really starting to show because the press is now starting to complain. It's really funny when you start, you know, impinging on the rights of the press, then they start squeaking. So squeak away, guys. You're really being kind of slammed around here, and you know, they should be held to task for this. They should be either forced to open up the channels of the internet, or they should be fined. They should be sanctioned. Something should happen because they're completely violating one of the original tenets that allowed them to host the internet, the Olympics in the first place. That's just my talk on it, or my take on it. And that's probably the last really hard-hitting topic that we're going to talk about today, because we have so much other stuff that I want to just kind of blow through some of the rest of the nonsense. And the podcast that I run here is not supposed to be overarchingly, you know, serious and slamming all the time, but there's just sometimes the stories come out and I feel the need to kind of share my viewpoint and hopefully educate you at least that the story exists and allow you to form your own opinion. That's pretty much all the only thing I'd like to do here. I'm not trying to force my opinion on other people. I'm just trying to show you the bias that I operate from. That's the easiest way to put it. But practical, they call it. Jetpacks for absolutely everybody. By the way, did you see that? There was no segue whatsoever between that. But here we go. Over at device.com, the world's first practical jetpack takes to air. Previously, before this, if you wanted three minutes of airtime on an old unit, you would have had to go for $250,000. Now, for the bargain basement price of only $100,000, you too can get 30 minutes of airtime with this 250-pound, it's not really a jet engine, it's more like twin turbines of thrusting glory behind you, but it's pretty impressive, but I still can't understand why they would call this practical. It's kind of insane, if you ask me. And until we get to the point where you have the little jetpacks, I don't really think that anybody should call any of these things practical, because you just know somebody's going to send a turkey or something through it, and you're going to blow one jet engine and end up flying off into the other area. The only real reason why I could consider calling it practical is because it comes with its own parachute. Let's just hope that the parachute deploys at the same point in time in which you are disengaged from your 250-pound jet engine behind you. That's all I can say about that. And then practical probably also couldn't be really applied to this if you were trying to purchase it. But how would you like the original TIE fighter model that was used in Star Wars A New Hope? Yes, this is the one that actually hit Vader's ship. So if you'd like to see it's kind of hard to pick out in the movie itself, but it was one of the ones flying along during one of the scenes. It pinged off the side of Vader's ship and then went spiraling off. This is the actual model that was used in the filming of it. It's kind of cool if you've ever seen at your local science museum, if they've had the Star Wars experience or whatever follow through, you can see some of the really cool old school models that they actually had and how they filmed. And I gotta say, there's a certain quality to films that were filmed with miniatures as opposed to computer graphics that I don't think that you can recreate. We are not yet at a point. And it's kind of funny that, you know, everybody has switched over to doing computer graphics because it's so much cheaper than actually building the miniatures. And at least I think it is cheaper. I'm not really sure if it's guaranteed to be cheaper. But it's really kind of cool that, you know, the original stuff, the explosions looked faked. I'm not even gonna try and touch that. But the fact that they were miniatures, the ships themselves looked really, really detailed and really gorgeous. And I'm not saying that they don't now with the computer versions and that the explosions don't look innumerably better, but there's just a lot of different tricks of photography that would not be known about today, and we're actually losing part of film's culture by relying so heavily on digital animation for everything. So I just think it's kind of cool that you too can head on over to eBay and actually purchase this. But you know, who knows what this thing's actually going to end up going for. Right now, it's starting at around $170,000. This thing is 18 inches high by 14 inches wide. So, Yeah, it's not very large because it's a miniature. That's how they filmed. But then again, $170,000. That's insane. So, not quite as opulent, but the next thing that we have up here, this is a little bit older than that model and a little bit crazier. This is Opulent Lunacy. That's what I'm titling this one anyway. It's from over at bornrich.org. It's 100-year-old Levi jeans have just crossed the $17,000 bid mark on eBay. Yes, you heard me correctly. There was a pair of jeans complete with provenience. They know exactly where they were, where they were found, and approximately who actually used them. But there was a coal mine, or a mine that was actually being excavated in the Rand Mining District in the Mojave Desert in California. They found this pair of jeans in the mine with a bag from a convenience store that was approximately 100 years ago. So basically, the store operated from 1895 until 1898 in Randsburg, in the town of Randsburg. And there was a pair of jeans complete with filth and what I can only imagine is all other kinds of stains along the sides and everything. They've been creased to beat the band because, hey, they've been folded for that long, you know? I mean, I'm pretty sure you can't take your iron to these things. And they're actually covered with the candle wax that the miners actually used to use when they were excavating. So rather than taking all this provenience and taking all this historically accurate data that they have on the jeans, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Levi's jeans originally didn't have the patterns for jeans from way back in the day, so to speak. So I'm pretty sure they would have been interested in these not too long ago, just to have the pattern from the jeans that were that old, because they don't look like they've changed much, but there's some minor different changes. So it's kind of interesting to see how they've evolved, but just not quite that much. But yeah, you too can bid on these if you really feel like looking at it. It's I don't know if anybody out there would actually wear them, but they're being marketed as vintage Levi's. I got to tell you, the whole vintage thing, when you walk into American Eagle and you see all the torn clothes and everything else like that, the pre-torn clothes and the pre-dirty pants and stuff like that, it just... It's not my cultural subset, so I can't comment on it other than the fact that I couldn't buy that stuff for anything. All right, moving right along here. If you'd like to build a better robot, then you can let them do all the work for you. We have a Lego Mindstorm set that is actually capable of solving a Rubik's Cube. So this is a robot that is capable of doing something that I've never been able to. It's not that I don't even know if it's the fact that I never actually sat down for a long enough period of time and tried to look for the pattern that you could go to. Because if I was going to get a Rubik's Cube at this point, I would just have to look up what the pattern is or how you go about solving it. My first point of order would be to Google it. But no, this robot is actually capable of analyzing the patterns on the actual cube itself, rotating them around, changing everything up, and solving the thing. It's pretty cool. I gotta tell you, when you're looking at the Lego Mindstorms, I don't know how these things are qualified as Legos still, because they can do some pretty amazing and awesome stuff. All right, moving right along here. Just thought this was kind of funny and just decided to pass it along, but for $47, you too can nail your computer. That's right, you can take a giant nail and put it in your USB drive because it looks, that's what the thing's shaped like. It's actually a new USB drive. I don't have any kind of idea on if they're ever going to offer other sizes, or, you know, a 10 penny nail is going to be a certain size, but the current model is a 1 gigabyte drive, is for $47. It's a little overpriced for the current market, but it's right around the same price for the novelty effect of having a nail sticking out of your computer. I kind of like the ones that look like torn off cables, and they're actually like functioning 2 gig drives, but 1 gig's not really a lot to write home about at this point. All right, this is the most expensive lawn service that I've ever seen. A woman by the name of Tanya Ledger from Croydon in South London has employed a 3D art expert, the one who actually reconstructed the famous painting of the Da Vinci Code movie. So this person reconstructed the Mona Lisa for the Da Vinci Code movie. So this person is obviously an expert, and they probably obviously paid an incredible penny to actually do this, or I guess it would be a shilling or a euro or something like that over there. But yeah, Tanya actually paid this gentleman to mow her lawn in the shape or the topography of a of a replica of the Mona Lisa. There's no other way to actually phrase this than this is actually awesome at one point in time, because the actual length of the grass created the gradients to actually give you the picture of what the Mona Lisa should look like from above, when viewed from above. The only problem is it's going to grow out in a couple weeks, and the person understands that, but they think it's kind of cool for the art's sake. All right, moving right along. This is the last little story from the tech cruft section of the podcast here, but what have I been doing at the gym? Because a lot of people have been asking me. I used to post on Posterous every day. I've still been going, but I gotta tell you, I shared a couple different sites on the last show with stuff that I found was really, really interesting and really helpful sites out there. But I'd like to actually kind of turn you on to another cool podcast. If you're a runner, or if you're somebody who's trying to get into kind of a rhythm with training, there's two podcasts and one podcast specifically that I myself have been using. The first podcast is called Pod Runner, and it is the seminal work when it comes to fantastic workout mixes. It's an hour-long mix of different kinds of techno music and different kinds of club music. There's not usually very many words, and it's upbeat, it's high tempo. Podrunner runs at a consistent beats per minute. Podrunner Intervals, which is the one that I'm currently listening to, is actually a series of varied beat per minute mixes that are designed to help train you to run certain distances. So currently I'm running into the second week of the training in Podrunner Intervals, and I gotta tell you, it's really starting to wear on me, but I really feel like I'm actually getting a much better workout than I was just trying to hit the treadmill and try and run for a couple minutes in a row or something like that. I actually feel like I'm getting stronger as I'm doing it this way. So the intervals workout's really working well for me at this point in time. So if I can ever get over my shin splints, then I think I'll be good to go. But all right, moving right along to the caffeine and food section, we got to run down the absolute craziest stuff I've seen here. First up, this isn't really food, but it looks kind of like it. Lego sushi. Yeah, we had to talk about Legos in both half of this the podcast today. But somebody has decided to make a different all the different kinds of pieces of sushi out of Legos. It's kind of a crazy little artistic talent where everything either gets made to look like sushi, or sushi becomes the media through which people try and recreate other stuff. For instance, if you've seen the sushi laptop, where somebody actually made a tiny little laptop running Windows XP out of sushi, and it was completely edible. Well, here we have the other side of the coin, where this isn't edible, but it's made to look like food. So it's pretty kind of cool, but it's still strange, so we're moving right along. Next little thing we have up here is also kind of a fun story, but I didn't really know where to put it, so we're going to just kind of put this out there. We're putting it on the caffeine and food section because it deals with a little bit of beverage love. The Malaysian Pentail Shrew, yes, you heard me right, the one and the only Malaysian Pentail Shrew is the only animal on the planet that spends its entire life drunk. Yep, you heard me correctly. This animal only eats fermented berries, so it has a blood alcohol level of 100%. Its diet consists of roughly 100% beer. The funny thing is, they don't ever actually get drunk. There's no adverse reaction when they eat or anything like this. But this is insane. So it's kind of cool, and I would like to see how they act in the wild. They only have a rather sedentary picture of the thing. And you know what? I got to tell you, though, if I looked like that, I'd probably be drinking a lot, too. All right, moving right along to one of the best ideas that I've seen in the realm of pizza cuttery. You have your standard pizza slicer, which, you know, with the giant bladed wheel, which actually rolls across things, which is always kind of cool and very iconic. And then you have the pizza cutters that actually look like little pie slicers. How would you like this? A pizza cutter that actually is a pair of scissors on one side and a slice holder on the other. So for $20, you too can get this revolutionary concept, and it's pretty cool. I think this is kind of fun. The only problem is, for me, you're going to need to make a slightly bigger slice holder, because the slice that they look like they have is probably only about 2.5 to 3 inches, and I like the 4-inch slices because I like to kind of fold them up in the middle and eat them. But that's just me. All right, up next we have an article. Just in case you're one of the few people who listen to this show who is unable to consume caffeine, or if you're one of the people who only drinks the occasional tea or coffee or anything else like that, how would you like to have 50 ways to boost your energy without caffeine? I was recently sent in this link, and it details a lot of really interesting, really cool methods of actually increasing your general energy levels without resorting to caffeine. And there's some of the ones that I've actually used myself, and the number one is turn on the lights. I live in a perpetual state of darkness when I'm in work and when I'm working at home. However, when I record the show, the lights are on. We are bright lights on the set. And when I'm doing programming and work and anything like that, I usually turn the lights on to make sure that I stay focused and make sure that I get a lot done. It actually increases my productivity. I don't know why, but it only does it if I leave the lights on for small periods of time. I'm very much a creature of the night. I get so much more awake at night that it's kind of interesting to see. So there's a whole bunch of other ones in there that kind of really play to common sense on some side, but they're really kind of interesting. So they have stuff like wake up gradually, get a physical, exercise, try whole grains in the way of food, have more water, eat smaller or more frequent meals. There's a whole bunch over there, and I highly suggest you head on over there and use it. All right, up next here we have the convenience store clerk who throws hot coffee on robbery suspects. There's a person in Boiser City, Louisiana, who decided to try and make his getaway from a person who was attempting to rob the store where he was working by throwing two pots of coffee at this criminal. The only problem is he wasted the coffee, and the guy still got away with the cash drawer after the clerk had fled. My thing is, he should have thrown empty pots at the gentleman, and if somebody is willing to go through the shower of hot scalding coffee and still make off with whatever cash happened to be in the drawer, then they almost deserve it. Not saying they do, but they almost do. It definitely had to be a hard-up gentleman who's trying to rob someplace after he got seared. All right, and then the last little real article that we got here is Dunkin' Carrots, Healthy Choices, and thank you very much to Jeff Manning, and you can find his awesome stuff over at jeffmanning.com. But he sent me in a fun little interesting bit that Dunkin' Donuts is trying to get a little bit more health conscience. Now, for a company with the name of Donuts actually as part of their corporate moniker, you got to be a little bit skeptical about why they're actually doing this, other than the fact that there's just way too much crap that's in the general food consciousness at this point in time. So they're trying to bring out a lot more interesting and low calorie. I'm not just talking like, okay, this is a low calorie bagel because you're not putting cream cheese on it and you're just eating a dry bagel. I'm talking stuff like an egg white flatbread sandwich that's under 300 calories and 70 calories coffee, lattes, and espresso are among some of the options. I gotta tell you, I don't think black coffee has too many calories to begin with, so I think I'm pretty much okay no matter where I go. But just wanted to kind of pass that along. You know, it's a good thing that they're trying to get a little bit healthy. You always have to suspect the actual reasons why people are doing that when it's a large corporation making a sudden shift like they are. And then the last little thing they have here is I recently was looking over at the Onion store. The Onion is a fantastic, farcical newspaper that puts out there, but they have a beverage-containing device for sale that reads as such. It says, "I often make light of my chemical dependence on caffeine." You know what? That is true. I do often make light of my chemical dependence on caffeine. I just thought it was an awesome mug. Thought I'd pass it along to everybody out there. Well, I would like to thank absolutely everybody for sticking with us on this slightly extended rant-filled or rant-leading caffeination podcast here. I apologize if we turned off a couple people because of what we said, but you know what? I'd like to engender a discussion here. Please feel free to email me with comments, suggestion, feedback, what you thought about this, how you liked what we did, over at caffeination@gmail.com. If you're listening to this episode on a stream somewhere and you'd like to find out where it nestles, it and all of its other episodic buddies are currently living over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And there's a whole bunch of other fun stuff over on our site, so please head on over there and check out all our other affiliations and links. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.